We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do sh**. This is the O-Line Committee.
Gentlemen, how are we feeling today?
New intro. I like the new intro.
I do.
You liked it? Yeah, I mean, for the audio audience, I don't know if it's much different, but, you know, figure we find some pictures of our playing careers. Mm-hmm. Boone with the 49ers, Jeremiah with the Vikings with Sam Bradford, yep. And me as a five-year-old wearing a Hutch helmet and an Anthony Carter jersey.
Can I see it again? I didn't see it. Can I see it?
What are you doing?
Yeah, help. I'll play it again here.
Pay attention.
Here we go.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do s***. This is the O-Line Committee.
Y'all fucking love it. I love it. I love it.
What are you saying to your teammates in that little pregame powwow?
I don't think you want to know. It was
I can tell you what it ended with. It always ended with the same thing. I'll see y'all in Valhalla, boys.
Yeah,
every single time.
Dude, it's the best. It's the best. And dude, this weekend of football. Oh. I'll see you in Valhalla, boys. Oh my god.
We have so many things. We're gonna get to our mics. We've got
so many mics.
We've got film this week as well. But we also have a breaking news announcement. Breaking O-Line Committee news. So we started this thing back, I think it's 7 months ago now, because it was like May-ish of last. We did some film reviews in like May, and then we started doing the actual dumb football questions in the podcast. Yep. And so, you guys helped us get to 15,000 YouTube subscribers in the first 6 or 7 months. Awesome. And today we announced that we have been picked up by the Blue Wire Podcast Network, gentlemen. Blue Wire Podcast plus O-Line Committee.
Hey, what's their law on swearing? Are we allowed to say, like, is this going to be like a McAfee thing where, like, we're going to have to tally how many times I say fuck in a day? Like, everyone's just going to keep yelling at me. Like, we're not talking about football and fun shit. They're all trying to be serious.
You're fine. You just be you.
We're good.
We'll just listen. I reviewed the contract. Mac reviewed the contract.
I didn't even see this contract.
I didn't even look. We didn't even send it to you. Like, we all know we have roles to play here. We know what our roles are, and you just sit there behind your mic and say outlandish shit.
If you're ever on the verge of getting us canceled or fired, we'll let you know in advance so you can decide if you want to take a step back from the line.
Hey, Boone, listen, I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up.
But Blue Wire is one of the top sports podcast networks going right now. And Chris Long's Green Room is their biggest podcast, which you see charting on the top of the Apple football charts. They've done work in the past with Chris Carter, with Terrell Owens, TJ Houshmandzadeh. They've got Laker Film Room. So we're here, and we're excited to be partnered with Blue Wire Podcast, take this thing to another level, gentlemen.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get Chris out or something, or we can do some cross hanging out. Dude, it would be great to get Chris Long. We used to wars went down between him and Anthony Davis. I mean, fucking wars. It would be great to get him in and start talking to him about, like, hey, do you remember that one time
you tried to
physically fight us in the middle of the fucking play? Like, you were like, he was supposed to like drop and he ended up coming anyways. I was like, fuck you guys. And we were like, what is he so mad about? It's hilarious. God, it's going to be so much fun.
That will be a blast. And by the way, too, before we get into the content and get into our mics here, too, The two best things you can do right now to help us, besides just listening to the podcast and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple and a positive review, are going to olinecommittee.com and checking out our merchandise wing. We've got our pancakes, hoodies, and tees, Clean Pocket Club swag, and the O-Line Committee stuff. And just simply follow us on social media. We've got O-Line Committee on Twitter, or X as it's called, Instagram and TikTok. You can just find us O-Line Committee across all social media platforms. Give us a follow and tell your football loving friends about the O-Line.
I refuse to call it X.
Thank you.
It's Twitter.
You're the best.
It will be Twitter forever and always. It's I refuse to call it X.
It was a really like arrogant, abrupt change that he tried to force on us.
Yeah.
Like 15 years of spending every waking second of your life on this. Right? We're just going to change the name real quick.
We're just going to change everything about it.
Overnight.
Then we have to charge you for your little blue check now. It's bullshit.
Not to mention, okay, for years and years, tweet was a verb, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go and tweet something.
Yeah.
Well, what are you supposed to say if it's X?
Yeah.
I'm going to go make an X post. Nope. I'm going to go
still
X
Twitter.
Something.
It is Twitter. Still Twitter.
It's Twitter,
it is
dude.
Twitter forever and always.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yep. Just so everyone in the audience.
Quick mic. Quick mic in there.
Oh, I mean, yeah. You want to start, Boone? You want to start with the mic?
Booney.
Yo.
Take us
Fire
home.
Us up.
What's Fire us home with the mic.
Dude,
where's
go.
The mic?
Come you on, ready?
Divisional round football, baby.
What's a bit? 32 years?
How many ventis have you had this morning?
No. This morning? Dude, I'm ready to rock and roll. Jay, did your boys call you last night? Were they like, man, we went hard yesterday? Went crazy?
No.
It was a day.
I think you oversold it.
Oh, no, I didn't. Because they looked at me like, are you okay? Okay. We had to do a lot of hands. Anyways, 30 years it's been. It's been 30 years. I got to give it to him. This guy, nobody gave him a chance. Everybody was laughing at him years ago when he was on the podium. Have you seen that speech from after training camp about how he's like, yo, believe me, I got a plan. Jay, I would have been all in. I'd have been there crying. I got you, coach. I'll be there. Right? Like, the way that this team comes out and fights, and credit to Tampa, they played a hell of a year. Like, Baker, he deserves to get paid. Like, the whole team, him and Mike Evans, they've been doing some sweet things, but man, the Lions and Jared Goff and what they've done this year and what they did last week and this game this week versus the Niners. Oh, my God. It's going to be a nuclear. It's going to be in sync if Debo can go. But my mic has got to be Dan Campbell and the Lions, because I'm telling you, man, for everyone's been writing him off and laughing at him. And now they're kind of sitting in the driver's seat like that. Everybody was laughing and we kept receipts. And here's how it's going to end. And it's been an awesome year, dude, and credit to him. Fuck, it's like, I cannot wait for this weekend.
Yeah, that Lions team is so unique in the fact that, you know, you look around what they do and the style of football that they play, and they truly embody their head coach. And, you know, you have teams around the league that you can tell play for their head coach and play for that man and love that man. And then just teams that, you know, they're like, oh, I mean, he's kind of the boss, but we're just out here playing. And, man, every single person on that team loves Dan Campbell, and Dan Campbell loves every single one of his players. It's such a special place. I still think the quote, you're good enough for Detroit, Jared Goff, is hilarious.
Wow.
It's hilarious. Like, I think that is hysterical. Right, like, you're good enough for Detroit. And he's like, thank you. Right, like,
you're not that great. You're definitely not Patrick Mahomes. But damn,
he thought about
it.
He thought about it as he walked up. He was like, wait,
dude. He thought about that. He thought about that quote after his first venti on like Tuesday of that week of Wildcard Weekend. He's like, if we win, I'm gonna say it. And then he said it, and he's probably like, that was stupid. I probably shouldn't have said that. But, dude, like, I just thought it was hilarious. Or then, like, Goff, like, literally Detroit is chanting Jared Goff's name. Like, it's like this crazy utopian world in Detroit right now where everything's just upside down. I mean, you think about the depths of hell that Detroit was in. Yeah. Not even, I mean, 4 years ago, right? Just complete. And now you've got Michigan has the national title in college football. There are teams playing in the division. Like, is Detroit football central in the United States
right
now? It is,
dude.
Like, is the city in the state of Michigan and Detroit, like, the football capital of the United States right now? Like, it's a weird thing to think about, but it's really true. It's true.
It is, man. And you guys mentioned that when Dan Campbell got hired, right, it was everyone – It's funny because people thought, okay, yeah, he sparked the Dolphins, was it, for a minute a few years ago as like an interim coach. And but when he got hired, pretty much everyone, 95% of people that cover football, fans, looked at it as kind of a joke, right? Okay, they're bringing in this meathead. He's talking about biting people's kneecaps. I guess it was kind of, I guess we'll see how it goes with this guy. And then, of course, they get off to a bad start. And then was it the second season? They were like 1-6 and they lose that game on Thanksgiving because he can't manage the clock. And classic, we got a boneheaded Dan Campbell, right? Ever since basically the Thanksgiving game from a year and a half ago where he botched the clock against the Bills, I think it was, right? I think it was against the Bills.
It was against the Bills.
They have been one of the top four or five teams in the NFL. What do you guys think of it? I mean, you guys have, you know, decade and a half in the NFL. What is it about? He's not your classic, like, cerebral scheming coach, at least from the outside looking in. Maybe he is more behind the scenes. Like, what is it about him that's getting this team to play like this?
Well, number one, I think it's his attitude. And I think it's the fact that he's that guy every day. If you show up day one and in 3 years later, you're the same guy, you will have the loyalty of the entire team. As long as you're the same guy every day, like we are, we're the same guys every day. You can't come in and play favorites. You can't come in and like be like, hey, hush, hush, we're not going to tell anybody. Because the minute you try to do that shit, we're going to tell each other and be like, hey, can you believe this idiot tried to do this with me? But the minute that the star player comes in and is like, yeah, I just got fined a shit ton of money for being late, people are quick to be like, this guy is cool. He's accountable. He's going to keep us on our shit. And at the same time, as long as he comes out here and says funny shit and makes us want to play hard, it's going to be easy. But offensively, they do great scheming. You saw Penei Sewell polling this last week. We fucking murdered the corner. And then all of a sudden, you see all these screens and you see all these gadgets plays. They're very into it. And at the same time, they have a 1-2 punch in the run game, which is super fun to watch. And yeah, I think a lot of us for a long time have been up and down on Jared Goff. But I think this year for me has been like, wow, sometimes being a good quarterback means being a good leader and being able to get us into the right play and being able to at times give us one play. Like, that's what's so fun about football, is when you don't rely it on one guy. Like the Bills for a long time with Josh Allen. Like, if Josh has a great game, good chance we win. Josh has a shitty game, we're fucked. Like, this is a team that you can pass the ball around to a lot of people, and at the same time, you can hand the ball off to a lot of people. So it's like, man, what are they going to throw at you? And that, to me, is what they're kind of good at. They're tough, and they can throw a million things at you that you don't know what it's coming. Like, dude, Penei Sewell pulling all the way around. I rewound that, and I was like, fuck it. Look at this guy. And he totally just deked out the end, like, burp. Dude,
he's a freak.
Stop.
He's
stop
a
it.
Freak.
Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, to echo what Alex said, a lot of it is you gain the trust of your football team over being consistent for the good times and the bad times. Right. When you have a coach that rides the roller coaster that is the NFL season and says one thing one week or at the beginning of the year, like, here's how we're going to practice and here's how we're going to go throughout our week and here's how everything's going to be. And you're like, okay, cool. And then you like have two bad weeks in a row and he's like, we're changing everything, right? Everything is different. Like, you guys fucked this up. It wasn't me. So we're going to practice harder or whatever it is. And you're like, whoa. Or if your things are going well and he starts kind of loosening up the reins a little bit, like, hey, you guys got this. It's fine. Like, all that inconsistency is really when you start going, is he the guy? Like, is he really the guy? When you have a dude that stands up in front of the room every single week and every single post game and everything and says something and then follows through on it. That's the biggest thing. He says something, whether it's right or wrong or indifferent, but he believes it. He follows through on it. So then you buy in like, okay, I'm following you. You're the head man. I know what you tell me. I can trust. That's the biggest thing. I got to trust what you tell me, man. If I trust what you tell me, I will run through this wall for you. But the second you lose the trust of that team, something like the Eagles, things start to fraction.
Ooh.
Right? Things start to fraction. Things start not going well because if you don't have leadership at the top, it all trickles down into the locker room and everything from there.
Yeah. Agreed. And I know we're going to make our official picks later in the episode, but if you look at, especially if Deebo Samuel's out, by the way, but if you look at 49ers roster, Lions roster, I'll still take San Francisco, especially the defense.
Yeah.
I don't think the gap is that wide. If you start to go, okay, quarterback, you're probably taking Goff over, I mean, not everyone.
Oh,
but
Purdy hate. Purdy hate will not be
Purdy hater.
The way Goff is playing compared to Purdy.
Between Purdy and Cousins, how much hate in your heart do you have?
Right, you're terrible. Well, dude, you could just say his experience alone. The guy's played in a Super Bowl. He's playing in another championship. Like, he's led NFL caliber teams. Like, yeah,
save it for the picks.
You said it. Yeah, he's been.
No, I see what you're saying.
Dude, people dump on Jared. I tried to defend him like 3 months ago on a film review, and even you guys mocked me. But he's like, if you give Jared Goff a good car to drive, there's a reason why he was the number one overall pick, yeah. What, 7 years ago? No yeah. one is saying that he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, who we'll talk about here soon. But when you give him a good car to drive, he drove one to the Super Bowl with the Rams a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's got a tight end. He's got receivers. He's got two running backs. He's got an offensive line. They've got a pass rusher in Aiden Hutchinson on the other side. Oh, so like I don't think the gap is that wide between these two teams.
No. No. So I would agree with you.
Dan Campbell.
There's a reason they're in the championship, Mackie. They're good.
Mac, you want to go? Or you want me to go?
You go. You go.
Oh.
Oh, he's getting
serious. Throw it in
now.
There. Oh, he's getting for real now. He's
about pack to it in there.
Listen.
A little 5:30 a.m.
You
dip
know
here for Jay.
That I am a Bills fan through and through. Right? I love my Bills. I played there 2 years. I think the city is incredible. I live in Lincoln, Nebraska, which means I live with insufferable Chief fans everywhere. Right? They're the worst. But I have to take my blinders off. I have to take my hatred in my heart out and truly pay respects to Patrick Mahomes as my Mike. 6 years as a starter, 6 AFC championships. That is insane. 14 playoff wins. To put that in perspective, the Arizona Cardinals, since like 1960, have 14 playoffs. Not just playoff wins, 14 playoff games. Yeah. And you talk about the GOAT, and everyone says Brady's the GOAT, and there's no arguing that. But when you look at true talent, like far as being able to be mobile, make the it play, the arm talent, the leadership, Mahomes in his sixth season is already making a run at Brady, in my opinion. And I know everyone's going to say you have to win the Super Bowls and you have to do it. And I agree. In order to be the GOAT, you got to win the championships. But in a year where everyone kind of wrote the Chiefs off as like, okay, it's a regroup year. They're going to figure it out. And then the nonsense they went through from week one of receivers dropping balls, guys not being able to understand, Kelsey's getting hurt, Pacheco's missing time. Patrick Mahomes, time and time again, has just been like, listen, just get me to the playoffs. Just get me into the playoffs, and regardless of what our roster looks like, we're going to have an above-average chance against every team we play because I am me. And so I will say it, and I will tip my hat to number 15 from the Kansas City Chiefs. We are lucky to watch you. You are a generational talent through and through, and when it all goes down, you will be wearing a gold jacket in Canton with probably multiple Super Bowl titles under your belt because he is so special.
Go ahead, Winnie.
If there was anyone that was ever going to go after Brady, it's going to be him. Like, let's be honest. The first 6 years, you're 6 titles in. Like, you're playing in 6 AFC championships. Dude, you're going to be the next GOAT. Like, eventually we're going to be, like, the new GOAT, right? Like, he's doing things, and you said it. He's doing things that not even Tom Brady could do with his feet, with his arm angle, with his ability to see downfield, with his tongue hanging out of his head. Like, dude, it is so fun. And I agree with you. Remember when everybody was like, oh, just get Tom out of here, get Peyton out of here. And it's like, dude, you don't want them to go, though, because there's not a lot of guys like them. Well, now all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes was like, well, hold the fuck on, dude. I'm here now. Like, right?
It is.
And it's going to go into our next mic, who's Lamar Jackson, because he's also the next. Like, hold on, that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying, though, is like, looking back, I was kind of like, I was one of those guys. It was like, do we really want these guys to leave? And now I'm like, holy shit, look what's coming in. Like, these guys are incredible.
The new era of superstar quarterback is
it's special. Insane. And I don't even mind the fact that this year we saw Patrick get a little upset at times and start to get a little flustered and start to throw down a little bit. Like, that, in my opinion, is always fun to see because that's you being you to an authentic T. Like, when you sit there on the podium and you're like, played a great game. They played a great game. You know how it is. We always make fun of those guys. We're always like, you nerd. But, like, you saw him this year, like, get mad. You saw him get frustrated at his team, at the refs. And I even saw him come back and apologize and be like, you know what? You're right. I should have seen the replays. My bad. Totally messed that up. Like, dude, there was so many times this year that I was like, this guy is clearly going to be the next best player in this league for a long time.
Yeah. He's still young. That's the thing, dude. He's not even scraped. He's not even scraped, like, we're going to be sitting here in 10 years on the O-line committee and be like, can you believe Patrick Mahomes is going to his 11th Super Bowl? Like, I mean, I don't understand how he does it week in and week out, but I remember growing up watching Brady thinking the same thing. Like, how does this mother freaking guy do this every week? I'm a Broncos fan, right? Growing up, like, why does he keep beating the Broncos? Right? And that's what Bills fans in Orchard Park have to be like, I don't know how we beat this freaking guy. Like, this was the year. We talked about it last week. In Orchard Park, snowy, blowy. It's going to be crazy atmosphere, everything. Like, this has to be it. And Mahomes just went in there and just on your dream. Like, that's all he did. I mean, he is so good. And I know everyone gets upset about, like, people blowing him and Romo blowing him all the time and everything, but he deserved it. Like, he deserves every single piece of credit that he gets, because if you take 15 off that team, right, and this is where I always view an MVP candidate, and this is how I look at it always. If it's not, for me, like, the best stat line, the best player, if you remove X player from that team, are they even remotely as successful as what they are? And you take 15 off of this year's Kansas City Chiefs, that's a 500 team. That's a 500 team.
Is it maybe worse than that?
I mean, I was going to say, it's worse.
I mean, yeah, dude, that's what the ceiling. Their ceiling is a 500 team if you don't have the best quarterback in the league as the trigger man.
And you guys, like, you talk about, like, the new generation of quarterbacks, too, and it's amazing. During the peak of the Brady and Manning era, so let's call it, like, 2004, 2005, Peyton's in his prime, and Brady's got, like, three rings at the time. And I feel like the league had maybe five or six dudes. Roethlisberger had come in at that time as a young quarterback. Favre was still playing at a high level. But I just pulled up, like, Pro Football Reference. Most of the dudes were just sort of statue, largely unathletic pocket passers, right? Peyton, and they were brilliant at it, but you had Peyton, Drew Brees was kind of coming into his own, and then you had a couple guys, like, you had a Dante Culpepper before the injury.
Philip Rivers. Give me Philip Rivers, dude. I'm not going to let you.
Philip Rivers. He was pretty athletic in the early 2000s, too.
Stop. He's never. The word athletic and Philip Rivers.
He could run around a
little bit. Has never been in this uttered
he
in the same.
He could run around a little bit.
For the 2000s. For the early 2000s, he was athletic. Yeah.
When I was 8 years old, maybe. Yeah. When I was 8 years old. But I remember when we were in San Diego, if Philip took off running, the entire sideline, and I do mean the entire one, would yell, "Get down!" Because when he ran, it looked like a wounded deer. Like, just a deer that had been, like, shot in its back hip, right? Just, and you're like, just fall down. Please, Philip, just fall down.
Just flopping around. But once you got to, like, the sixth or seventh quarterback in the league 20 years ago, and this is no disrespect, you're talking like Brian Greasy, Trent Green, Mark Bulger, Chad Pennington with labrum hanging by a thread, you know. Billy Volek was top 15 in passer rating. Jake Delhomme. In this year's NFL, I mean, it's literally like Justin. You get to, like, in terms of just some of the statistics and, you know, your rankings. And, like, everyone, not only everyone in terms of throwing the ball, but you got guys. Josh Allen is one of the most athletic players that's ever played in the NFL. I mean, he's Cam Newton. He's Michael Vick. He's all these guys that you saw. He's Dante Culpepper from 20 years ago. So it's the way they're doing it, too. Like, that game, we've seen now three playoff games between those two guys. It's so much different than what it looked like with Manning and Brady. Those guys are just, it's like, those guys are masters, like, pre-snap,
statues.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're making their checks and their Omahas, and these guys are, too. But then once the ball snapped, they can run around like no one has seen in the NFL and keep plays alive and throw a ball on a dot in the corner by the pylon for a touchdown. It's insane.
Did you see that Josh Allen throw that went like 80 yards?
Throw that never will be. No, Dot just missed. Diggs dropped it.
Okay, I didn't want to say it. You did, but it went through one hand. I'll say it went through one hand. Okay?
It went through both hands.
But when he threw that, I was like, holy shit. The announcer was even like, he threw that in the stratosphere. Like, it cleared the entire top of the field. And I was like, holy shit, he's going for a home run. Dude, if Diggsy would have caught that, that game goes
the other way. What's amazing is I see
it was
people
64
on 12. This is just
4 yards.
That's
in
insane. That's
and this
insane.
Is just
freezing
Twitter talk,
cold.
The
freezing
people that are,
cold,
the people
dense
that are
air.
Like, hey, that was not a perfectly thrown pass. He underthrew Diggs.
No.
Diggs jumped up. The ball hit him in both hands.
Yep. It was one of those over the shoulder, and I saw Bill practicing those the other day in the gym, and he was fucking throwing them hard because the guys couldn't catch him, and he was like, you don't know when you're going to need to do this. And when I saw Diggsy drop it, I instantly hit my mind, and I was like, fuck, dude, you got to make that catch. Like, I love you, Diggs. Just got to make that fucking catch.
Yeah. I will say Josh Allen might have been the better quarterback on the field on Sunday night, but Mahomes is got the clutch gene. Yeah. Right. And it's not fair to say Diggs or Josh didn't have the clutch gene, but when you can't beat a quarterback, it's a monkey that lives on your back. Ask Peyton about it. Yeah. Ask Peyton about it, right? I guarantee you Peyton, I promise you Peyton probably reached out to Josh Allen and was like, it might get better. Like, you might have to play like 20 years and catch Mahomes on the back end of his career, but it gets better.
I have a mic in that regard in all a right, second, go for it, but Mike. Before Here we finish the Patrick Mahomes part of it, Mahomes is doing the same thing that Jordan did in the NBA in the 90s and what Tom Brady did. If you're the Utah Jazz in the 90s, there's a couple other teams too, but like, there's the teams in the 90s in the Western Conference and even some in the Eastern Conference in the NBA that they were championship teams by any other standard in any other era. But sorry, Michael Jordan's here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true. Peyton Manning, in any other era, any other time period, that dude has 5 or 6 rings.
10 rings.
He got his one with the Colts and then later on sort of rode that great defense with Denver. But because Tom Brady existed, Peyton Manning doesn't have 5. And I think Josh Allen's kind of in the same bin, where if you just took Patrick Mahomes out of the NFL, Josh Allen might have 2 or 3 rings right now. I don't think that's a hot take.
No,
I don't either.
That's a realistic take. And guess what? If he beats the Ravens next week, we're going to sit here saying the same thing over again, like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, right? Sorry, Lamar
Jackson. But how lucky, and I'll end this point with this, how lucky are we as fans to finally see a group of, call it 10 to 12 quarterbacks that could all make runs to the Super Bowl every single year, right? We got robbed of Joe Burrow this year, yeah. Right? And everyone, Bengals Twitter, if you want to see an angry fan base, just go back and look at Bengals Twitter, because I follow a lot of Bengals beat writers that were so upset, visibly and angry about the Brady Manning like comparison.
Where's our guy?
Alex.
Your guys,
and
your
they're
guys,
like,
Ben
they're like the only guy that could beat Mahomes, right? Burrow, I'm tired of this. I was like, oh boy, that's like Ben. They're setting this up. They're the I'm gonna say the 4-headed monster in the AFC with Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Those four are not going anywhere, and it's gonna be fireworks for a long time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Sure is.
Yeah, we got screwed out of Joe Burrow. We got screwed out of Kirk Cousins, these great quarterbacks that can lead their teams to Super Bowl.
Stop it. Listen, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Joe Buck or maybe even Romo that was like, no, it was Greg Olson. It was Greg Olson watching that Tampa game where he was like, you know, this day and age, if you don't have a quarterback that can move around with these pass rushers that get through, you just can't play in this league anymore. And I was like, oh. Shots across the bow at Vikings fans here. Shots across the bow, possibly. We'll see.
Shots fired. Yeah,
I'm sure we'll do a Vikings thing at some point in the next few weeks, but just one quick thing, and then I'll give you my mic, which is Josh Allen related. I don't know how you watch what's happening the last 2 weeks, wild card, super wild card weekend and divisional round, and think, wow, you got Jordan Love has emerged. Oh. You know, you got all these young dudes, like you, athletic young dudes, great leaders, big arms. These rosters that are being built too on the backs of rookie scale contracts in some cases, and think, I know what the solution is. Let's pump another $80 million into Kirk Cousins. He's already made $200 million to deliver one playoff victory.
400.
Well, $250 if you include Washington. I don't know where you're getting.
Yeah, 400 is a very large number. Where are you getting that number from?
It's closer to 400, dudes.
Endorsements,
probably. Anyways, it's like 10 figures and we have one playoff win. Somebody at some point has to be upset. I agree.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, okay, on the Bills front, here's my mic. My mic is all of Buffalo Bills fans because I feel like we are spirit animals. You guys know, if you listen to the show, I have grown up as a Vikings fan and follower, and now I have a Vikings podcast. The Buffalo Bills are the AFC version of the Vikings. Both have four Super Bowl losses. Vikings wide left misses, Bills wide right misses. I think both those teams have multiple, like, where you look throughout their history, they've got multiple teams that you thought could have won the Super Bowl and didn't even get to the Super Bowl. You could look at these Josh Allen teams, but here's my words of optimism for Bills fans. And I don't say this from experience. Obviously the Vikings have not in 60 plus years won a Super Bowl, but Jay, you grew up a Denver Broncos fan. We are witnessing the second coming of the John Elway Denver Broncos situation. Where, and it sucks, like, you're going to have to wait in line for a little bit, Bills fans, Josh Allen. But John Elway came in the league in 1983, and he was the most, I mean, that dude was a three-sport professional athlete if you wanted to be. And that, like, didn't he get drafted? He got drafted as a baseball player. Yes. I think he played some basketball.
Yes.
And he was, at the time, he was one of the most athletic, gifted, arm talent, legs, quarterbacks in the league. Three straight Super Bowls in the late 80s, smoked by the Niners, smoked by Washington. And it and by the way, even the coaching parallels, Dan Reeves, Sean McDermott, really good coaches, could build up the program, could get them to a certain point, couldn't quite deliver the championship, right? And John Elway, once he got to his mid-30s, finally gets his Mike Shanahan, finally gets his Shannon Sharp, his next wave of weapons, and delivers back-to-back championships. But it took five trips to get those two, and it took a decade and a half of running into these other teams, the 49er dynasty, right? So I'm here to say, Buffalo Bills fans, you will get Super Bowls with Josh Allen. It's the Denver Broncos and John Elway all over again, but it sucks because you're going to have to keep waiting.
Also, Bills Mafia, I love you to death, but lay off Tyler Bass. Like, I hate kickers too, man, but you made this poor man delete his social media. This dude is in a hole somewhere in Orchard Park. Like, I feel bad for him. Listen, I understand. I've been on teams with kickers that have missed big time kicks, and it's a hard thing to do. But I mean, to make a guy deactivate his Twitter account because he was receiving death threats, be better. Be better. Like, it is a game. It's a tough game. It's a tough loss, but nothing is worth sending a grown man a death threat over something he missed, especially when you see the leader of your team, the leader of the franchise, had his worst loss, probably the most heart-wrenching loss that he's had at home, immediately the first dude to go put a hand around Tyler Bass and walk him up the tunnel. Like, that's leadership. That's there. Bills Mafia, I love you to death. Let's back off and be thankful for what we have and regroup. We'll come back next year.
Did you expect anything less when they were throwing snowballs on the field?
No.
I mean, dude, what the fuck? How are you going to throw a snowball at a bunch of dudes playing football games when they're not even looking? Like, dude,
wait,
I was
Jay,
like...
Jay, did you put an arm around Blair Walsh in 2016?
No, ooh. I didn't. I absolutely did not. But I also didn't say I'm going to murder your family.
Like, it's true.
I mean,
true.
You don't have to hug the guy and be like, hey, man, I love you. It's okay. But you definitely don't walk up and be like, you better not go to sleep tonight. I'll find you. Right, like that's it gets to a certain point. Like, Boone, I don't know if you, I know you're not a big social media guy, but I don't know if I've told the story. I jumped off sides because the center didn't snap the football against Dallas on a 2-point conversion. Right, Thursday night football, Mackey, we're the color rush, we're going down to win it, 2016. Right, rush,
let's go.
And center doesn't snap it. I jump off sides. I hear false start, number 75. Right, and the boos rain down upon you on the field, and you feel it, and it's heavy. And I got back to my phone, and I had some crazy DMs, right? Like, holy crap, this is serious. But the worst, someone DM'd my wife, and was like, hey, when your husband gets home, just tell him to kill himself, right? And that my wife, like, was showed it to me. She's like, the dude, I was like, golly, people, like, it's not that serious. Yeah, like, come on now. And you know that's what Tyler Bass got, because that's what it is. So I hope that I know people will not forgive and forget very easily, but let's just lay off the death threats. Yeah. good? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's hard to tell people, especially Bills fans, and it's Buffalo. You're grinding through this winter. You've had to shovel out your stadium 2 weeks in a row. Like, I get it. It's terrible.
They've been working hard for it, boys, and they're pissed. They are pissed.
It's your $20 and a shovel, whatever. But, like, dude, create a little bit of separation between a game and basically a fun TV show and actual real life and humans. I'm with you on that. Like, just a little bit of separation between those two things.
I remember the first death threat I ever heard was Ryan Hamby when we played Texas. He dropped the touchdown in like the last 10 seconds to lose the game at home, and he had to like turn off his phone and change his number because people were like, "I'm gonna come to your house." And I remember like the police were involved, and I was like, it can't be like this, dude. It's gotten so much worse. It has gotten like fans have taken it to a new level. Like, I agree. The minute you DM my wife, it's fucking on, dude. Like, there's no stop. Jay, you know me. There will be zero stopping. It's full gas, no brakes. You can DM me all you want. I don't give a shit what you tell me. I'm not an idiot. I go talk to the higher ups and they go good or bad. And based on that, I either get yelled at a lot more than you could fucking yell at me. Believe me, I've heard some things. Or they go good. Get the fuck out of my office. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for signing that check. Yeah. Appreciate you.
I think moral of the story, it's probably good that Boone's not on X or Twitter.
Fuck that. You want me to get on X? I'll jump on X. I got time now. I got some time. You want to fucking hop on?
Like, man, Boone would be great right now on X. And I'm like, the negatives might actually outweigh the positives.
Yeah, no. Remember that scale we talked about a lot, like on field performance? Yeah.
My performance these days at work have been fucking on fire. That's all you guys need to know. So I could really go do some bamboozling shit, and everyone's going to go, fuck. I have to eat this one, boys. How many times I walked in and heard that? Fucking have to eat this. Shit. I just laugh. Yeah, let's do it.
But, yeah, overall, maybe some of the best divisional football that we've watched in recent years.
It just kept ramping up. Every game
it did.
Got
better and better. And every game had its own thing. There was, I mean, other than that Ravens-Houston game, which, by the way, shout out to Houston for getting there, but they clearly did not belong there because my fucking God, could we jump off sides anymore? Could we do any more pre-snap penalties? Like, so that's rattled. When you know you're like, you know what, guys, we're happy to be here. We had 12 pre-snap penalties. We are fucking out of our elements. Like, that's not good. And at the same time, this goes into my next mic, Lamar Jackson. Did you see how mad he was getting? He was literally like, I said fucking dig route. Like, he was like, he was throwing punches at the old line. I was like, dude. But when you talk about a guy that can take over a game, just like you said, Patrick, dude, Lamar Jackson, if he doesn't like what he sees downfield, he could really make you hurt really bad. Like, the way he can just slip out of everything. And if you don't bring pressure and get him bottled up right now, it's over, dude. It's insane to watch.
I don't know what the Texans were doing half the time in their rush lanes.
Oh.
Like, I went back and watched the tape because I was like, first of all, why didn't we have an answer for zero pressure?
Right.
There was no answer. Right. Zero answer. It was almost like watching the Eagles last week when Tampa was going all out zero pressure and they just had zero answers. And I felt bad for Stroud. But when you're on an environment like that, and the thing about zero pressure is you have to be able to get to your check. And when it's loud and you're nervous about your guys jumping off sides, and sometimes you're like, I'm just going to let this ride and try and beat it with the ball. And they just could not answer the blitz, the Ravens blitz package that we had. I'm excited. We're going to do a full offseason. We're going to do a full offseason take. I'm going to dive deep into this tape, have a bunch of cut-ups, and we're going to look at what happened to the Houston Texans offense.
Jay's blitz.
It's amazing.
Dude, segment.
The way I love it. Boone knows this. One of my favorite things. I nerded out over pass protection. Like, nothing got me more excited than walking into a 5:30 a.m. Wednesday meeting with the quarterbacks and the centers and be like, all right, let's talk through how we're going to beat this blitz.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
It's so much fun. Because for an offensive lineman, that's scoring our touchdown, right? You don't get to see the old lineman, like, in the end zone celebrating. But I can vividly remember multiple times when we're out there on a third and long and we see a package that – we had seen and we'd studied and we talked through it and everyone's like, this is it. This is the one. Like, get to the check. And we get to the check and we hit it right in the face and the quarterback completes a long ball and converts and all the O-linemen are high-fiving on the way down. Like, we did it. Right? Like, that was the stuff that got my blood going. And so I can't wait. We're going to dive deep into a lot of off-season blitz of the week stuff because I love
those. Those meetings are a little quicker, I'm guessing, for Baltimore. Okay, how are we going to pick up this?
Lamar, you got this?
You're just going to run out that way? Okay,
eight, run.
Sounds good.
Just run.
Dude, Incredible. And hats off to Houston. The first half, they kind of knew what was going on. And they were putting pressure on him. They got some sacks. They're stopping him. Like, Lamar's getting frustrated. But the second half, he was just like, no, I'll put the team on my back. Did you hear at halftime? They were like, there was a ton of cursing. And it was all from Lamar. I was like, yeah, I'm sure, it, dude. You could see it on the field. But he's another one, like Patrick. Like, love watching these matchups, because even when you have him dead to rights, cornered, everything, he slips out, and all of a sudden, all you see is open space, and you're like, well, now how smart was that? That doesn't look very good.
You see him one-on-one with a safety with 8 yards of separation. You're like, oh, buddy, good luck. Like, good. Best of luck to you, sir.
I also love, too, like, when Lamar Jackson is, I think he's 26 still. Maybe he might have turned 27, but he's no older than 27 years old. And people, like, it started 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, Lamar Jackson struggles in the playoffs, right? Oh, he can't win a playoff game. Let's save the can't win a playoff game thing for guys that are 32.
Yes.
For guys that are 35.
Yes,
and
I agree.
Like what was your plan, guy? If you're you know, social media criticism guy, or you're a national talking head guy, and your plan going into these playoffs with this team that has a plus 200 point differential is, boy, Lamar Jackson can't win a playoff game. Like, well, he's 27. He's awesome. And he will probably beat the Texans. And then we'll probably get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, just shut up, people.
Well, that's the problem, is everyone gets so serious right away. And I remember when all that talk was going on and everybody was like, oh, he can't do it, and this is going to be too much. I remember going, like, he's like 23 years old. It's not even his fucking fault. Like, what?
Well, dude, we do this, like, if you know, when we were all growing up watching sports before social media. We're not that old. We're all in our 30s here. But even like in the late 90s, early 2000s, you didn't have this like tornado of content and reactions and takes and social and, you know, podcast and YouTube and all this stuff. It was like a guy would come in the league, in any league, by the way. It could be a basketball. Like, dude, Michael Jordan didn't win a title until like his 8th or 9th year in the NBA. But in today's world, if you're a 21 or a 23-year-old, you literally get labeled can't win a playoff game.
Yeah,
chokes in a big spot, right? It's like, well, dude, he might have 10 years left in his career. Let's just take a deep breath here and let this thing play out.
Unless you're Dak Prescott.
Oh, that's
dude, he's like 30 now.
Yeah, that's true.
Cross over, and Jay will tell you, in the league, when you cross over 30, I remember the day I crossed over 30. Dude, I remember I got a phone call, and everyone was like, congratulations, you're fucking old. And I was like... 30.
AARP.
They're like, oh no, dude, you are officially looking over your back now. Like, you, once you hit 30, you're fucking old. And so that's, I would put Dak in that category. The I'm over 30 and can't do shit with shit.
I have a neighbor that every year
no names
dies on the hill that Lamar Jackson will not go down as an all-time great. He's like, he won't go down an all-time great based off the fact that he's not going to be able to sustain the style of play that he runs, and he's not going to be able to do it, and he's never going to go down as a list of an all-time great. And we went rounds on this again in our group thread. He just refuses to believe it. And he started going down, and I was like, give me your all-time greats. And he's like, Roger Staubach, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. I was like, dude, he's 26. Like, you can't, and he's like, oh, I'll believe it when he wins one. Like, he's just so stubborn and annoying with that.
But, okay, that's stupid. Like, dude, this is Lamar's, like, what, 7th year? And he's still
sixth.
He's still running around. If you haven't figured it out in the first 6, you think it's going to take the next 6? Like, there's nothing you can do. And that's what people need to understand. Yeah. Who was out there? Christian Harris was out there spying him for most of the game. And then all of a sudden he got hurt and they were like, now we're fucked. Like, that guy made a ton of tackles. Anytime Lamar left the pocket, he was chasing him. But then all of a sudden he hurts his shoulder and there's not one person on that field that can do shit about it. He's just literally gone everywhere. And that's where it's like, dude, he is going to go down as number one, a generational talent, because he's phenomenal. He can run the ball. He can throw darts across the fucking field like I've never seen a dude do. And at the same time, he always keeps his composure. Like, you never really see him like go crazy and throw 4 interceptions or 4 fumbles. Like, he's one of these dudes that in the game on the line, dude, I'd want him out there. I'd be like, dude, I'm going to let you call whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
I'll tell you what,
but dude,
I'm going to give you this. I'm going to go sit down.
People get so caught up in, well, right, okay, but can he do it when he's 35? I don't give a shit. Dude, he
fucking cares.
Yeah. They can win Super Bowls right now. People get, like, when you, this is the, and we, this is a whole other subject, but even in the draft, it's like, boy, you know, I don't know if that guy's going to hold up when he's, I don't care. Can he hold up for a rookie contract for 5 years so I can build a monster roster, right? The other thing, too, is the Ravens in the regular season, the Ravens are 58-19 with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Did you pretty not good. Think that was going to translate at some point to a postseason run? Like, if you're 58-19 with Lamar Jackson at quarterback as a team, and we could get into a debate about how much you put on like quarterback wins as a stat, but they win a ton of games with him in the regular season, and people had written this chapter about him in the postseason going into his age 26, sixth year in the NFL, and those people are idiots, and I'm glad he's shutting them up.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I'm all about it.
I agree.
All right. Any more mics? Mics across the board. Are we good?
Are we good? Actually, I have one more
Let's
mic.
Do it.
Hit it.
We
do Hit it. Okay. All right. Arthur Blank, come on down because you have a huge decision to make right now. So Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons, has now interviewed Bill Belichick twice, face-to-face, just Arthur Blank and Bill.
Hey, Bill.
A couple football dudes. And there's a report now that he has brought in, or will at some point today or tomorrow, Jim Harbaugh for a second interview in Atlanta. I love that he's not messing around with, like, up-and-coming coordinators. You know, he's just going straight for established, winning Hall of Fame coaches. If you're Arthur Blank, and you've got Jim Harbaugh and Bill Belichick, and you get to choose, who are you choosing to coach the Falcons?
Bill Belichick, hands down, not even close. Bill Belichick for me. I think you want to bring in the GOAT. You talk about the GOAT of coaches right now. It's Bill Belichick, right? Harbaugh is going to do exactly what people do during draft time. The potential, the upside, right? What's the ceiling when you bring Jim Harbaugh in? You know what the ceiling is when you bring in our dude, Bill Belichick. The ceiling is he can win multiple Super Bowls, and he's proven it, right? I think it's not even a question. You hire Bill Belichick.
Boy. To be fair, and I would say this, the only reason, and I love Jim, everyone knows that, I think Jim, this team is young, dude. And that's the one thing when I look at this, I'm like, am I bringing in Bill Belichick to deal with these kids, or am I bringing in a guy who just got done dealing with younger kids and got them to fucking crush? I'm just saying, I get it. Bill's the goatest of goats. I'm not disagreeing with you, and I think him and Nick will always go down as the greatest ever. But when I'm looking at this, you have to stop and go, this is a different generation. What happened there in the Patriots was one guy fucking left and everything collapsed. Was it really, really, really all Bill? I'm starting to wonder. And now I'm looking at this and I go, Jim's just won. He's just won with an authentic fucking game plan. Hey, we're going to pound the shit out of the rock. Kind of the thing you want to do, isn't it? All of a sudden, you have to stop and look back and go, man, this guy does come from college. He has been dealing with these fucking kids for a long time, and he seems to know how to scare them. Bill doesn't seem to scare anybody. I'm sorry, but these kids are not scared anymore. I talk to them every day. They're not. They're like, fuck, I give a shit. I'm literally like, you realize that, like, that got me to shut the fuck up. And they're like, well, you're stupid. I'm like, maybe I am fucking stupid. Shit. You guys are getting paid in college. Get it? You're getting paid when we weren't. Bill would have told us to shut the fuck up, and we'd have been like, okay.
I agree with you, Booney, on the point that this generation of kid is different. It's even different from when my generation, when I came to the league, and yours too, there was still the little bit of the, I'm going to ask why, and if you explain it to me, I'm all in, I'm bought in. It's no longer the I'm going to ask why. It's I'm going to make you continue to justify your why.
Every day.
Right? I'm going to make you continue to tell me, well, why am I doing this? Right? There was a why to it. Like, hey, why am I doing the shoots every single day? It's like, because I said so, and it's going to make you a better football player.
Okay.
Done.
Done.
You answered my question. But now it's more like, well, explain to me the details of why this is going to translate and explain it to me again and again and again. And if you waver on this fact, then I'm going to say you're stupid. We need to do something else. That is the generation of player that's coming in, because that's the bread generation that they've come through of they've been able to ask why. They've got their answers, because if you don't get answers in college football, you transfer, you go somewhere else. That's what they're used to. Bill Belichick's not used to that. I'll give you that. Bill Belichick is much like, you sit here, you shut up, you do it my way. That doesn't always translate, especially with this young group of kids that are coming into the league.
A couple things on this. All right. Bill is an old 71. I mean, Bill is like, Bill
crusty.
Jim is a young 60. And to your point, like I was just thinking as Jay was talking about the why, right? And it is. It's our generation and then the younger. We want to know why. We aren't just gonna blindly trust authority. I feel like, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, and Boone, you played for Harbaugh for a number of years. I don't know that players even ask Jim why.
No, we did. We
you did.
We did. Okay. But Jim gave
like he
you.
He gets a level of buy-in that not a lot of coaches do.
Because he gives you the why right away. I mean, when I say that this guy knows fucking football offensively, probably better than Belichick knows defensively, like every single day, every day he would come in and be like, we want to why fly this because it'll get them to do this. And then all of a sudden everyone would be like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. There was no more questions.
That's my point. You weren't every day. You weren't questioning, right. Does this guy know what he's doing?
Because he knew going in, because it's very intricate offense. And it goes to the point of like, if this guy's in a five, it's check to this play. If he's in a four eye, it's check to this play. This is why it's so important. That's why they brought in Solari to be our O-line coach, because he is the most detail-oriented O-line coach. Like, every single player has a different highlighter color on the page. So I always knew that I was like green. So anytime I'd see a green highlighter, I know that that was my reminder. Hey, Booney, do this. Or, hey, you're doing this. Like, dude, it is extremely. And so that's why you never had to ask, why are we doing this? It was like they gave you every single step, and then they'd be like, this is phase one. And then at halftime, if we can get phase one going, we'll roll into phase two, and this is phase two, because by then they're going to check to this. So we're going to bring it, and you'd be like, oh, fuck it, let's do it. Like, this is great. But to Jay's point, we were more like, how do you want this done? Right, like we were so like, how do I please you? I want to make you happy. These kids now are literally
football.
Right, these kids now are like, why are you the expert? Explain to me why I'm doing this. Why is this benefiting me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just never guessed that. These guys are getting paid to be our fucking coaches. Of course they want us to be the best possible. I don't need to ask you why we're doing a drill.
And also keep in mind, like, so by the way, my answer after all this is Harbaugh 100 times out of 100.
I'm starting to think so too, bud.
It's 100.
Can you get him though?
The last time Belichick was, you got to keep in mind, we're not talking about all, like, we all grew up in the Belichick heyday, right? We're talking about in the NFL, 23 to 28 year olds largely. It's been 6 years, 5 years since Bill Belichick was regarded as the best coach in the NFL. And now that Tom Brady left and immediately won a Super Bowl somewhere else, and I still think we're not doing that.
He's the GOAT.
I'm saying, perception-wise, and I'm saying also, who throws their fastball as a head coach right now? An old 71-year-old, like an old 71 Belichick, or a young, spirited 60-year-old Harbaugh who's never lost anywhere he's been? That dude won at San Diego. That dude won at Stanford. That dude went to a Super Bowl with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick and random dudes like Alex Boone.
Hey.
Just kidding. You were a stud. You were a stud.
Thanks, buddy.
And he won a national championship. Like, Jim Harbaugh right now, to me, I think it would be a franchise-altering mistake to choose Bill Belichick over Jim Harbaugh.
I agree with you on that.
Here's a question for you. Say he wants Harbaugh publicly. He comes out and says, I want Harbaugh. And Harbaugh then goes, I'm going back to college. Does Bill take second fiddle?
I don't think so.
Does Bill then be like, fine, I'll come in. I know I wasn't your first choice. And then what do they do? That's the conundrum. They have to make so sure that if they go all in on Harbaugh, he's actually going to leave Michigan. Because if you say, I want Harbaugh, then he goes, I think I'm going to go back and coach these boys up one more time. I think Bill's off the table. I think Bill goes, I play second fiddle to no one.
Where would Bill go then at that point?
Retirement.
I think so. He may sit out a year, right? Maybe like, hey, I'll take a year. We'll revisit this conversation. Or maybe he just says, you know what, I'm done. I'll ride off in the sunset. Because you haven't really seen Bill's name thrown around any of these other coaches.
It's kind of Falcons or bust for him, right?
Like, they came out and said that.
Yeah, I've yet to see another team that's interviewed Bill Belichick. And someone please correct me if I'm wrong.
Do you think the Cowboys or Eagles, I mean, it took the Eagles like a week and a half to kind of figure out do you think the Cowboys or Eagles threw a little back channel call to Bill's agent?
Probably just a feeler text or a feeler call. But I don't think they ever really intended on moving on from McCarthy or Sirianni. I know we said like, oh, it's got to happen, but that might have been an overreaction take. I don't think they're ready to move on from either one of those coaches.
Do you think the Bills are going to send a little text message? Hey, Bill.
No.
McDermott's safe.
He's fine, dude. They missed a kick. Can't fire a guy for missing a kick.
That's
funny. We talk about the kick, by the way. Another reason not to pile on Bass.
Remind me something.
If he makes that kick, Mahomes probably just drives down and puts
the dagger in regardlessly. Yeah.
How about this for the last mic? How about these fucking announcers? Okay, number one, you got Jim Nantz literally going,
We asked Sean McDermott this week, and he said that he is extremely comfortable with this kick. And literally, as soon as he fucking said that, he kicked it to the right. And I was like, you're a dick, Jim Nance. But how about also Tom Rinaldi talking about how fucking Matt LaFleur takes his, holds his breath and says a prayer. Dude, what a fucking asshole.
Dear baby, that was off the record, right?
Dear Tom, baby Jesus, please allow him to make this kick, baby Jesus.
This kid's parents are probably fucking watching this game with all their friends like, well, thanks, Tom, you fucking asshole. Like, dude, what are you? Are you going to say something like that? These guys have literally, they need to stay in their fucking lane. I gladly check them. I gladly check them.
Oh, man, I love it.
That was,
that was very clearly an off-the-record conversation.
Clearly.
So I was talking to LaFleur a couple beers in at the bar the other night.
We were over at Prime, and he was saying, fuck, if it's down to a kick, we're screwed. That's probably how that conversation really happened, too. He was literally like, hey, by the way, if the game comes down to a kick, we're fucked. We're not making it.
We've all had that, like, candid conversation. Like, so what do you feel? Like, what do you think of this kicker comes out? Oh, God, dude, I just drop to my knees and pray. Right? Like,
terrible.
Oh, man. You guys want to make some picks here?
Let's do it.
Okay. So last week, Alex was the only one who deviated from the script.
Did I? I saw the script from the script writers.
Alex took the Chiefs to beat the Bills.
And so I knew Alex no one was jumping in the pit. I knew it.
He went.
Dude, they guarded the pit. They didn't allow anyone to jump in the pit.
Yeah, even Buffalo, you fucked
it
up.
The story came out, and the Erie County sheriffs were like, "We can't allow sacrifices to the pit." So they put up
blame yourself.
They put up barricades around the pit. The pit was not fed, and the pit was angry.
Oh, we haven't even, speaking of that, I'm surprised that Jason Kelce didn't make his way to the pit during his tour.
No, Jason Kelce goes hand in hand with She Who Shall Not Be Named, and I'm not going there.
No, don't do it. I'm not talking about that at all.
Oh,
zero
wow.
Fucking.
No, I'm done with her.
Picks.
I can't do
so,
it. Picks.
Are you done
4-0.
With him too?
No, I'm not done with him, but as long as he's with She Who Shall Not Be Named, I'm not talking about it.
You are not.
You guys, I love me some.
Mackie,
love me some,
what's
some
our record?
Swift, some Deion
what's the record
Swift?
All time?
We don't talk to her.
The records are, okay, Booney went 4-0. We went 3-1, each of us. And so going into championship weekend where the picks are worth 2 points because we've only got two games, I'm 57-25. Boone is two games back at 55-27. And Jay is only five games back, and the Super Bowl is going to be worth 4 points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you guys have to let me pick first here so you can, if you want, you can go against me. So, Jay, you're 52-30. I think you were like 500 halfway through the season.
This is a comeback season. I'm a second half of the season guy.
Mackie, what were you? What's your all-time record?
I'm 57-25. We pick straight up, by the way, because spreads are
for losers.
So, 57. Are you doing math right now? This could be dangerous.
No.
Okay. 55-27.
I'm good at math, though.
Takes the socks off.
I just can't write a paper. Okay, leave me alone.
I heard you doing fraction homework with Johnny.
Oh, it's insane. I'm great with numbers. Football's all numbers.
It's a 34 defense. It's not a fraction, Dad. Okay, Lions at 49ers. I'll go first. You guys can pick against me if you want to. This is one of the classic games where the Lions looked largely great the last time we saw them. And the 49ers, they were missing on some passes. The Packers looked like they outplayed San Francisco in that game for large chunks, and they just made some young team mistakes. So I think a lot of people are going to take it to the next step, which is, okay, the Lions are playing better than the Niners. The Lions are going to win this game. I still have the Niners winning this game. I think that was about as tight. I mean, they looked rusty. They were off for a week. That was about as bad and tight as we've seen the Niners in several weeks. Deebo Samuel does not have a broken shoulder, I see in the news here, so there's still a chance he could play. I've got the Niners in a really good game here.
I'll go next. I watched that game, and I watched Aaron Jones run up and down the field for the first time in 50 games. They allowed a 100-yard rusher.
Yeah.
A 100-yard rusher. The thing I love about this, we didn't see the Niners and the Lions play this year, right? We've seen some matchups in the Super Bowl. We've seen that movie already this year, right? And you can kind of throw that out the window in the playoffs, but it's always there as like a guiding stepstone of what this game may play out like. I think with the running attack of the Detroit Lions, with the two-headed monster of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, the Lions win this football game.
Wow, dude.
I'm taking the Lions.
Wow. Okay.
Listen, I'm taking the Lions to the Super Bowl here. This is not just a like, oh, I need to climb back into the rankings pick here. I truly believe it's the Lions' year. It's the Lions' year. Give me Dan Campbell. Give me David Montgomery. Aiden Hutchinson to show up in a big way. I'm all in on the Lions bandwagon.
I love that you did that. That is good. That's fucking loyalty right there, bro. Dude, I appreciate it. Listen, I can't bet against my Niners, dude. I'm sorry. I get it. And I'm always the first one to say that I hate the bye weeks because it just fucks up that next step. You feel like you kind of miss it and have to catch yourself. But I think the Niners get back on track, man. Debo doesn't have a broken shoulder, and I think if he's as tough as they say he is, he'll fucking show up, and he's going to do some shit. And Christian McCaffrey, until you can stop the guy from scoring two tutties, I mean, I just got to go out here and be like, hey, man, they can do the same thing that the Lions can do. I really believe that. If the question becomes, which defense shows up first? Aiden Hutchinson's playing at a fucking phenomenal level. And the Niners this year, their O-line has looked shitty at times. But the same thing could be said for the Lions. And I just think that the 49ers defense has more firepower. And if Nick Bosa and Chase Young and Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw start getting fucking antsy, it could get it. There's no question it's going to be a chippy game. No question. And I cannot wait. You'll be catching me right here 10 feet from this fucking computer, sitting my fat ass on that couch watching it all day. It's going to be so exciting, but I got to go with the Niners.
Jonah Jackson being out for the Detroit offensive line may play a factor.
Yeah, are they going to have Saldivari going, probably?
No, they don't have Saldivari. It's
not Saldivari.
It's not the rookie either. It's not Sorsdale.
That's what it was.
I can't remember his name, who came in. That could be a linchpin, you know, if all of a sudden it's like, hey, backup left guards in there. Like, you want your full firepower and the Niners are healthy. That could be the make-break, but I got a lot of faith. I think Detroit's riding high, man. Jared Goff, you're good enough for Detroit, baby. Go do it.
You're good enough for Detroit, and you're good enough for Jeremiah.
Good enough for me, man.
Hey, no matter how many times you say it, it never sounds good. It never sounds like you're like, yeah, I want that to be said about me.
Yeah. I'm good enough.
I want to be good enough. I want to be good enough.
So Jay's got the Lions. Boone, you and I both have the 49ers here. Okay. Chiefs at Ravens. Another game worth 2 points here. So, man, the Chiefs are the undertaker, man. This was supposed to be kind of a transition year maybe, and they got receivers dropping passes, but here they are. Here's my thing about the Ravens. They have beat the brakes off every good team in the NFL that they've played. I mean, here are some of their wins this year. Last week against a Houston team that was feeling great, red hot. Okay, we'll just put you to sleep, 34-10. We'll just whoop your ass in the second half. At Cleveland earlier this year, 28-3 beatdown. Detroit, 38-6 home victory for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. They beat
Miami.
The Niners. Miami, 56-19. They have systematically destroyed. Oh, by the way, Jacksonville, 23-7, right? Yeah. They've had a couple losses and some close games, but they are the best team in the NFL by a wide margin, point differential, everything. And I think this is a coronation, an AFC coronation of the Baltimore Ravens getting one over on the Chiefs. So give me the Ravens.
I'm with you. Ravens, love you, Mahomes. You did your best thing, but I think this is just too good of an all-around roster. The roster prevails in the playoffs. I mean, when you have the greatest of all time, you can win games, close games. But if you're down by 10, you're down by 14, you're going to be playing catch-up the whole time, and the Ravens' defense is up to the task. And then you pair that with Lamar Jackson on the other side, the Ravens, I agree with you, they've vaulted San Francisco as the best team in the NFL, like not just the AFC, the entire NFL. So yeah, I'm all in on the Ravens.
Dude, I agree 100%.
Kill the Swifties.
I think that, honestly, when you talk about a team that's scary and they might be getting Mark Andrews back, like, that could be just so – oh, my God. They're stacked at a lot of positions, receiver, like tight end,
Isaiah
their old line plays.
Isaiah Likely has stepped in and has just
– huge way, because that's how they move the ball, their tight ends. They fake all these runs, and then while these middle linebackers step up, they normally just hit Mark Andrews right behind it. But now you talk about Zay Flowers showing up, Odell. Like, there's so many people on this field. But if number eight doesn't like what he sees in any way, I'm just gone. You know what? I'm just going to book it down the field. If I see an opening, dude, and as much as I respect the Chiefs, and Patrick is phenomenal, and the game that they played last week was great to watch. Defensively this year, they've been lights out. Like, they've just played really well. But I think this is one of the cases where it's like, you talk about what Lamar can do, and if you start putting pressure on him and you get out of your lane at all, and even if the fact that you don't bring pressure, like, he can read defenses, he can pull dots, dude. He has been zinging the ball. This is going to be such a fun game, but give me the Ravens.
So Ravens across the board, which, by the way, so no matter what, Boone, you and I are going to we pick the same, but you will have a 4-point Super Bowl game to make up 2 points on me. So we're going to have some drama here, no matter what, in the Super Bowl.
I love it.
With these picks. All right, boys, let's do some dumb football questions here before we wrap the pod. You guys can always send us your dumb football questions in the YouTube comment section. We try to get to at least a few a week. We're going to do a lot more of these in the offseason, obviously, when there's not as much to talk about in the news cycle. But let's start with a SoCal native 75. He says to you guys, if you could have played in another era of football, what era would you have gone back and played in?
That's a good question. Do we get to pick a team?
Sure.
Oh, I would have been in Denver in the 90s. I mean, I think for me being
Mark Schlereth, yes. Gary Zimmerman, Jeremiah.
Growing up in Denver, I mean, I got really spoiled as a fan of sports in general in Denver, right? Joe Sakic, Forsberg, Patrick Waugh winning Stanley Cups with the Avalanche. You had Elway and Sharp and Terrell Davis winning Super Bowls. I had Carmelo Anthony, who would just go and lose in the first round of the playoffs every year.
The Rockies hitting Nuggets. 70 home. Everyone's hitting 60 home runs.
All juiced out of their minds. Yeah, you know, I the era of the 90s growing up in Denver felt like sports pinnacle. So for me, I know it might not be a certain era, but I would love to be a Denver Broncos player from 1990 to 2000. I think that would be the generation, the era that I wish I was in the NFL in Denver, in that sports town for that time.
Dude, 90s and 80s for sure. Those guys were built psychos. I would have been with all the Niner dynasties, because when you talk to those guys about how much fun they had and they're like, we used to do this, you'd be like, there's zero chance you did that. They'd be like, yeah, we used to have a shed that we'd all go to. And you'd be like, no way. They'd be like, yeah, it's right on the field. It was right there. See that little imprint? You'd be like, that's what that was? They'd be like, yeah, you drink beer in there. Everybody just come in and hang out. You'd be like, this is fucking incredible. They'd be like, dude, nobody cared. Nobody cared ever.
I was down at the O-Line Mastermind Summit down at Duke's this summer, and Bruce Matthews was down there, right? Played 20 years. And he was talking about, like, there's a bunch of guys who are up there talking about how they take care of their bodies and the way that they, like, rest and recover. And he's like, I can remember drinking beers the night before our games. Like, he's like, I can remember the O-line. We'd have our meetings. We'd all meet up in a room, and we'd crack a 30 rack, and we'd all just have beers. We'd all just hang out before a football game. Be like, hey, boys, we can go play a football game tomorrow. Great. Right? Like, that would be incredible. Amazing. It'd be incredible to be able to do, but, you know, that's just not the way the game is played anymore.
Are you kidding me? With all the boots and the hyperbaric chambers and the, I got a cold tub, hot tub. They'd be like, oh, sorry, I can't have a beer. Okay, It's not on my plan.
It's not my macros.
It's not my macros.
I'm going to go over on my macros if I have this 90 cal Bush Light.
I'm over on carbs. Oh, God.
So I thought you might say, like, the 80s Browns. You might be, like, the last piece of the puzzle for the 80s Browns.
Right, Mackie, since you never get to be involved in these, if you could be in your era of
an announcer?
An announcer, a covering of a team, right? You get to cover
a team. The 1940 NFL Championship game. Now, yeah, the boys running around the field, the Chicago Bears against the Detroit Lions. Yes.
Yeah, if you're a beat writer like you are for the Vikes now, and you have your own podcast, and you do everything, like, what era of call of NFL and maybe even what team would you want to be doing what you're doing right now covering?
Just delivering hot takes on a microphone. It wouldn't have been YouTube back in the day. It would have just been like
You'd have the local radio that everyone's listening to, right? Yeah. Everyone tunes into. You're the guy. You're the talking head of the city. What era and what team?
I think it would have been the 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers, so I could spend 10 years telling everyone how overrated Terry Bradshaw was and getting death threats.
You just can't get that hit out of your heart. That hit just lives so deep.
Who hurt you, Matthew? Jesus Christ.
Who hurt you?
Somebody
did it. He's just riding a defense. He's overpaid. Look at his interceptions.
Mackie didn't get hugged enough as a child.
That's exactly. Dude, hey, I saw a video of Terry Bradshaw rolling up to a game. Have you ever seen that? He's like flying in a 1979 like Dodge, and he's like slams on the brakes, and the cop's like, hey, Terry. He's like, hey, Cal, check it. And he's like, have a great game. He's like, thanks, Cal. Tell your family. Said, hey. Just peels out. Zero fucks, dude. These guys were living their best life, and here we are, like, to the nine suit. Terry gets out in, like, shorts and a t-shirt. Like, these guys just didn't give a shit. Literally showing up to play football was just going to fight with your friends. They were like, hey, let's go start a fight in a fucking massive stadium with our best friends, and we'll be kind of hungover, and we'll get drunk after. Like, dude, that was the fucking life. Those guys were living. God.
Dude, now look at us. We should sometime this summer, we should go grab, I don't know if there's like all 22 film of old games that we can even get access to, but even if we watch like, I don't even know if YouTube would let us, but if we grab like some 70s, I want you guys to break down like 70s trenches where every field is caked in mud. You can't even see the uniform
grainy
colors.
Grainy. Dude, I remember in like 2000 and maybe it was 2010 or 11 when they switched over the film to like real 4K. Before that, it was like the grainiest shit in the world. Before that, it was black and white. Like, it's just, dude, well, it's hard to break that
even
shit
down. In high school, I remember the film was like a revelation when the dad would stand in the end zone and like have the little crank camera. Yeah. Like,
we had that too.
And it like crank up, and it just sit like, and so you're trying to watch tape. Like, am I having a seizure? Right, like you're just trying to watch anything you can. It's like, no, the wind's just blowing a little bit. Like, yeah, the old school film, the VHS of just wearing tapes out, just wearing it out.
Dude, those are the football grinders, man. Like, just sitting in your office.
Those were
the
grinders, dude.
Man.
Yes.
Just VHSs across the board. Like, there's just piles of VHS tapes. Oh, those were the days.
You know it was.
Football. I got one more for you here. Cortland Feld wants to know, what's a walkthrough? The term walkthrough gets mentioned a lot in football in regards to practices. What is a walkthrough? What happens in walkthroughs? Why are they important? Love the show, by the way.
We do a walkthrough every single day, and a walkthrough is normally before practice. And so the day schedule goes like this: meetings in the morning. So you go O-line meeting, you go offensive meeting, you'll install for the day, then you go back to O-line meetings, you'll talk about the install, and then you go from there and you go right outside and you do a walkthrough. And a walkthrough is the one thing I've learned about the NFL, and they're very smart, is they teach you a million different ways in one day. Like, you'll see it on paper, you'll go outside and you'll walk through it, you'll watch it on film. Like, they try to grasp every different learner because they know everybody's different. So they're like, listen, I can't just fucking tell this dude what he's doing. I got to show him, and then he's got to go walk through it. And at some point, it eventually starts to hit you when you're on the field. You're like, okay, now I can put people in places and I can see how this works. What is the action of the quarterback? How am I supposed to be? And that's where the coaches can really be like talking with you, where they're like, hey, I know it says I want you to go here, but I need you to void space, or I need you to eat space here before you go there. So like, they'll walk you through it so that by practice, it's fucking hitting. Zero time wasted in the NFL, which I love. There is zero fucking time wasted. They're like, hey, we're going to show you on paper. We're going to show you on tape. We're going to let you walk through it. You'll go eat lunch, talk about it more, come back and watch it again, and then we'll go practice it. Dude, it is. If we didn't have walkthroughs, I was almost like in vertigo. Like, wait, hold on. Somebody hold me up. What are we doing? They'd be like, oh, we're just going to go out and practice it. I'd be like, fuck you mean we're just going to go out and practice it? I don't even know what we're doing. Like, you said power, but you also said zone with it. Like, you got to show me something. Like, it's they're pivotal if you want to learn. And at the same time, if you really stop and look at a walkthrough, you can start to figure out what the defensive scheme for the week is against you. You can start to figure out what defense are they going to throw versus this personnel. What defense do I think they're going to throw versus this personnel? This play, this is how this guy's going to try and stop it. Because the cards are seriously written up. Like, linebacker's here, he runs here, he fills here. Like, they tell you exactly where to go and where to be because you have to play that player this week. Like, the mic for the scout team is playing Luke Kuechly. He's not playing himself. So this is how Luke plays it. He plays it here and then here. And it's, dude, they're awesome. Yeah. But they can be bad if you have certain people who just go too fucking hard. And then all of a sudden a walkthrough turns to a jog through, turns to just a fist fight, right? Like, I used to hate when the coach would be like, all right, you know what? Now it's a jog through. And you'd be like, fuck, man, I'm wearing sandals. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Who's not taking this seriously? Fuck. Yeah. So bad.
The other thing I love about walkthroughs, especially late in the season, so when you get in like week 10 plus, it's a war of attrition, right? Mm-hmm. That's we talked about winning football games in late November and December is a war of how healthy is my roster. And so you, all those looks that Boone just talked about of, hey, we got to see this against this pressure or against this look, you really can only get in practice that point of the year, probably 20 to 25 plays of true team period of banging and going before guys are getting beat up and you're trying to keep guys healthy and just get them to Sunday. The walkthrough, if you can have a team that understands how to walk through properly, you can get through 60 to 70 plays a day, right? Because you tell guys, hey, this is walkthrough tempo, but we're full speed to contact, right? And that allows you to sharpen your skills. That allows you to sharpen, hey, if I'm an O-lineman, I'm taking my full speed set, getting to my spot, and then I'm stopping before we have this car crash, right? And it allows you just get through more looks, get through more reps, get through more things that you're going to see, the blitzes, all of that. It allows you just to do that from a professional level, and that's how you have to understand to learn how to practice as a professional and saying, hey, this is a walkthrough, but just because it's a walkthrough, I have to have a full speed mindset. Right, those are mental reps. Those are reps that are going to happen to me in a game that if I just do it as a walkthrough lackadaisical, that's how I'm going to carry it over into the game. Right, treating walkthrough as mentally as sharp as it is on a Sunday is equally as important as the physical aspect of it. And so if you can have a team that can learn how to walk through well at the end of the year, they're going to be more healthy on Sunday. They're going to have the ability to go out and practice and have more looks that they can see, and then they can go perform better. So walkthroughs with veteran teams towards the end of the year are extremely important.
Yeah. And Fridays are just straight walkthroughs usually for you guys.
Saturdays are walkthroughs.
Fridays are big practice.
Fast Fridays.
Fucking Fridays.
Right.
Baby.
You have short yardage, goal line, red zone, third down period again. Like you kind of have two minutes at the end of practice. You're gonna have five team periods on a Friday, limited individual, right? It's just get out there, kind of a little bit of a mini dress rehearsal through critical situations in the game, playing fast, playing quick, and then Saturday's your true walkthrough.
Fridays are my favorite. Are you walking through Saturday before you hop on a plane, or are you doing it in like a conference room?
No. Okay. You can do it. Well, normally, like unless you left on a Friday, and then if we went somewhere for two nights, because being in Frisco, we used to have to go to a lot of places for two nights. Then we would go to like a high school in the local city that was had an outdoor field, and we would go walk through there. And it was great because you could stretch your legs out for the day, and it ate a good portion of the day up. You'd go into meetings, you'd break out into O-line meetings, and then you'd all get on a bus, you'd fuck around for a little bit, you'd drive around the city. It was actually, dude, it was really fun. Like when you think about the experience through the NFL, there was a ton of work. Like they're making you work all day, but they're going to take you to some really cool places. They're going to show you some awesome things. Like we used to go to some of the coolest high schools in the city, and Harbaugh would be like trying to get people to come watch, or he'd get the local team to come and we'd have to say hi to them. Like it was a lot of fun, dude. It really was. But walkthroughs, need them. But you got to focus.
Tell me this, Boone. Could you tell, and I know this might be trying to think in it too much, I could always kind of tell on a Saturday walkthrough how dialed in our team truly was.
Oh, yeah.
Like you kind of get a feel for how dialed in are we, right? Is everyone here? Is everyone mentally checked in? Or do we have dudes that are kind of spacing around? Or is someone going to forget to run in when it's punt or field goal? Like nothing. And I mean this wholeheartedly. If you're doing the special teams walkthrough before a game and they do callouts, right? So what they'll do is be like, give me the starting KOR out on the field right now, right? All 11 guys kick off and run out. And then the special teams coach does special team callouts, right? He'll be like, hey, so-and-so's down. Who's in? And that dude better be sprinting his ass onto the football field, because if he's not, the head coach will lose his ever-loving mind and you will start the whole thing over again. I mean the whole thing over again. Yeah. Everyone would be on the sideline on pins and needles, like, okay, who's he going to call? Yeah. And that was just part of being checked in, like locked in, because those are critical things. And if you had guys, and I can almost remember, like if you had multiple mess ups in a walkthrough with mental errors, you were worried going into Sunday. Yeah. You were slightly concerned, like, man, maybe guys aren't as locked in. Hey, got to get some more study time in or whatever it is. But I always felt like I had a pretty good bead on, were we going to be competitive? Where we're going to be at? Or are we going to be not there to start this game the right way based off of the Saturday walkthroughs?
I agree. And dude, to be fair, one time it was my, remember when Minnesota, I didn't know the schedule. It was literally the first week and I didn't know, because in Frisco, we always did it like offensively. And then the defense had a big one. And then the offense had a big one. And the defense, well, here it was like offense, punt, something happened. Offense is back out.
They called it mock game. They didn't call it a walkthrough. They called it mock game in Minnesota. So you kind of walked through like, offense is up. Okay, punt. Defense is up. Okay, punt return. Offense up. Scored. Kickoff return. Right? It kind of went like through that way. And so, yeah, it was a little different if you had never been there.
And so I remember I was talking to Chris Carter. Chris Carter was there and he came up to me and we started talking and fucking around. And all of a sudden, I hear everybody screaming my name and I was like, what the fuck are they yelling at me for? And all of a sudden, Zimmer was standing there like, you motherfucker. I was like, oh, shit. Chris is like, I'm sorry, man. Running down the field. Like, oh, my God, I had no idea. It was all the way on the opposite side of the field. The whole team had to watch me. And I thought I got away scot clean. I ended up getting fined for that.
Yep.
Big fine. I was like,
what did you get fined? Do you remember?
I think it was like $5,000. He like fucking yelled at me the entire time I was running down there. And I was like, well, that's not the worst. You know, it could have been worse. Could have been fine. And by the time the walkthrough was over, I went to my locker. There was a letter in there. And
envelope
I was like,
in the locker.
Wow,
fucking
dude.
Dick.
Yeah.
You're talking to Chris Carter, bro. I don't even know what's going on here. Fuck out of my face.
Chris Carter got a fine for that.
You were
too.
Locked in. Weren't locked in.
Tennessee game. I was the most locked in that game when our boy was playing quarterback, Sean Hill. I was like, dude, I love this. I love it. Shut up.
I think that was Sean Hill's last game too, man. That was the end. That was all the
Sean bullets, was the man.
That's all he had left, dude.
That was it.
He pulled his calf trying to run to the sideline.
Oh my god. Hey, that's a wrap, boys.
Let's do it.
This O-line committee episode. Appreciate you guys for clicking that like button and the subscribe button on the YouTube channel and a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts. Plus go to olinecommittee.com for all of your offensive line lifestyle merchandise. See you, dudes.